All right, everyone. So Ryan and I recorded this podcast on Monday night, and wouldn't you know it, on Tuesday, WWN sends out an email blast, and there are some more announcements that we were not able to address in the podcast, so I will address them now. A lot of the information we give about where you can get all of the WWN shows, you can go to WWNlive.com. That's mentioned a number of times. Plus, we also went over the cards pretty in-depth, so all of that is still going to be intact. But just these are the announcements that we did not mention on the podcast since they were not a part of the email blast last night. So all of the WWN events, Evolve 28, A Wrestling Odyssey, Open the Ultimate Gate, Shimmer, and Mercury Rising, all of those shows will be at the McAllister Auditorium at Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana. We mentioned that there was a TBA as part of the six-man tag team tournament, specifically teaming up with Chris Hero and Roderick Strong. That man is Masato Tanaka. So it will be Tanaka, Hero, and Strong taking on Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox in the first round of the DGUSA six-man tag team tournament. Also, the CZW World Heavyweight Championship match that is taking place at A Wrestling Odyssey. It will be Drew Gulak against Timothy Thatcher with a twist. It will be contested under British rounds rules. The bout will have 6 5-minute rounds, 2 pinfalls, 2 submissions, or 1 knockout to decide the winner. No close fists allowed, and you cannot advance on a downed opponent once contact is broken. Any rule infraction will result in a public warning. 3 public warnings will result in a disqualification. Gulak and Thatcher, they recently had a match in FIP that was very mat-based. Now the rematch is going to be done at A Wrestling Odyssey. A CZW match being done under classic British rules and will undoubtedly be more of a technical match. What a bizarre world we live in. I'll just read this line for line and you guys can make your own jokes. You want to be entertained? Just signed for A Wrestling Odyssey is the Bravado Brothers versus Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae with Maxwell Chicago as the guest referee. I don't know what to say about that. If this was PWG, I'd probably be excited, but given that this is probably going to be comedy-based, I'm not sure. And no word if the United Gate Tag Team titles are on the line. That was not mentioned in the update. The main event of A Wrestling Odyssey. We didn't have that announced, but we sort of have an idea that there will be at least an Evolved Championship match. The participants and the stipulation will be determined after the result of Chris Hero and Trent Barretta. The match will have a special stipulation to add to the diversity of the show. I have to say, given that Trent Barretta is already defending the FIP World Heavyweight title, I would say his odds of winning the Evolved title, fairly slim. Daphne will be hosting both the Wrestling Odyssey and Shimmer events. She is the former host of the Shine events, so it'll be nice to have Daphne there. And that is basically it as far as the bonus announcements. Everything else is covered in our upcoming show. We discuss the controversy surrounding some of the Dragon Gate events, plus a whole lot more. We discuss AIW. It's a fun time. Thank you for listening and supporting us here at ProWrestlingPonderings.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pro Wrestling Ponderings. My name is Jerome Cusan, the senior editor of this wonderful website. You've had an occasion to listen to a preview of the New Japan shows taking place this weekend, as well as WrestleCon. Chris GST, Brian, and Dez took care of that this past weekend. You've had an occasion to listen to Matt Waters, Justin Houston, and Kevin Ford preview both the Tag World Grand Prix and a very in-depth look at WrestleMania. I would strongly recommend listening to those two podcasts after you're done with this one, if you've not done so. I'll subscribe to our iTunes feed, PW Ponderings. Tonight, what we're going to be doing is discussing primarily the WWN live experiences, and this comprises Evolve, two Dragon Gate USA shows, Shimmer, and a Wrestling Odyssey. There has been a lot of controversy surrounding the DGUSA shows. We are going to get into that a little bit later on the podcast, but I cannot do this alone. First, joining me from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, he is going to be very active in covering all of WrestleMania weekend and specifically the WWN live experience. He is my partner in crime for the weekend of podcasting and writing and live tweeting. Ryan Rozanski is here. Ryan, how's it going?
Jerome, I'm doing excellent. You know, spirits are high here in Pittsburgh. The Pirates won today with a walk-off home run. And then once someone explained to me what a walk-off home run was, I got pretty excited. Jerome, this is the start of a very long week with me, so I'm going to try to take this off on a good foot and not get you too annoyed.
Yes, Ryan, it's way too early in the week to start angering me, so let's keep all of the references to a certain reality TV show to a minimum, all right?
I can't control my primal instincts, but I'll do my best.
And joining us for the first time here on a Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcast, he is our, I guess you could say, our women's wrestling expert. He covers AIW Girls Night Out, Shimmer, Shine, WSU, and this past weekend he had an occasion to attend AIW's Girls Night Out in 11 and 12. We'll have some discussion of that to start, and he's also here to talk about Shimmer and the two Shine title matches taking place this weekend. I know him as Cartoon Dave. Your full name is Dave Muscarella. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, that is right.
So Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm very tired. Philly to Ohio is not a short trip, so it's a long drive.
How many hours in the car for this past weekend for you?
Probably close to 18, maybe, all around.
You did this all by yourself?
Yes, me, my iPod, my satellite radio, and yeah, that's about it.
See, Ryan, we got nothing on Dave. Dave is making towns.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, my parents really don't let me drive that far, so, yeah. It's tough.
Oh, Ryan. All right, so AIW Girls Night Out took place this past weekend, March 29th, 2014, in Cleveland, Ohio. Dave and Jen were very kind enough to provide us with results, and a number of major events occurred this past weekend. But let's get into the Lea Von Dutch conversation very briefly. What we can report here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings is that Lea Von Dutch is legitimately done with AIW. She was scheduled for bookings in April and beyond, and now she will not be with the company moving forward. So that is legitimate. It is not an angle. Lea Von Dutch is really done with AIW at this point. She was a big part of Girls Night Out 11 as Allison Kay became the AIW Undisputed Women's Champion by defeating Lea Von Dutch via submission. So that is probably one of the biggest stories to come out of the weekend, is Lea Von Dutch no longer being involved with the company. The other major story has to do with Athena, as Athena was unable to get into the Cleveland area until very late in the afternoon on Saturday. But she was able to make it and wrestle twice on Girls Night Out 12, first defeating Mia Yim in the opener of the show, and then becoming the brand new AIW Women's Champion as she defeated Allison Kay. So Athena walks out of AIW's Girls Night Out with the championship belt. And Dave, you had an occasion to see all of this unfold. What were your overall thoughts on both Girls Night Out 11 and 12? I don't want to go through all the results, but what were some of the moments that really stood out for you besides the ones I just mentioned?
Yeah, if I had to say who stood out the most, I mean, obviously Athena. I mean, I don't know if you know, but there was a blizzard basically going on during the show. Athena came in for Girls Night Out 12, had the match of the night with Mia Yim, an absolutely awesome match, on par with her match with Lufisto from the WSU Mutiny show. that good. And then, you know, she wins the title at the end of the night. But besides that, I would say Hanaya had a really good set of matches with Kimberly, especially. That was a very good match. And Nikki Storm as well on the Girls Night Out 12. They were both very solid matches. And Jasmine, this is only her second, well, technically third and fourth Girls Night Out shows. And I thought she improved tenfold over the previous show she was on, and I thought she really stood out, especially her match with Mia Yim was, you know, Mia Yim's pretty good, and Jasmine, you know, isn't that experienced, but I thought she held her own. So those three, I would say, absolutely, for me, stood out beyond anybody else.
And of course, some of the other, another one, T-Money and Nasty Russ defeated Annie Social and Heidi Lovelace. They successfully defended the AIW tag team titles. I pretty much called the ending. I think everybody did. Yeah. With T-Money hitting the pounce on Loveless. What were your thoughts on that specifically? How did Social and Loveless look against the AIW tag team champions?
You know, that was a surprisingly competitive match. You wouldn't think so, but Annie and Heidi definitely held their own. The overall theme of that match was T-Money was enamored with Annie Social's chest, I guess you could say. So that was a big part. There's at one point, Nasty Russ was holding Annie Social against the ropes. T-Money screamed to the audience, "Who wants to see some titties?" And then Heidi low-blowed him to get out of that situation. But it was a lot of comedy, especially early on. But there was a few moments in that match where I thought Heidi and Annie actually had a legit shot at winning that match. But, of course, yeah, it ended with the pounce on Heidi. And that's probably going to be on all the trailers and all the, you know, the little clips of that show. That's going to be what everybody remembers. But, yeah, I actually enjoyed that match quite a bit. It was pretty good.
For those who maybe have not watched an AIW Girls Night Out, whether you're a women's wrestling fan or not, I'm very curious about, for you, Dave, as someone who has, you've watched every Girls Night Out up to this point, correct?
Yeah, I've seen them all. I've been at all of them since Girls Night Out 5. That was my first one. I've been at every one since. But I have them all on DVD, so I've seen every single volume.
And I'm very curious for you, one of the things that I felt watching Girls Night Out 9 and 10, it felt like there was significant improvement from some of the earlier Girls Night Outs, just with the roster in total. And I think one of the things that really helps AIW now is that they're sort of able to incorporate, you know, at least some international stars. And I think the depth of quality women's wrestlers is increasing as we progress here. You know, we've got places like WSU, we've got Shine, Shimmer, Girls Night Out. We have a number of women's wrestling promotions and a number of really great women's wrestlers now. What are your thoughts on the improvement of the Girls Night Out brand from number 1 to number 12?
Thorne has said pretty much when they started it, they didn't know what they were doing with women's wrestling. The talent has tenfold improved. The incorporation of Canadians, and especially recently, the Europeans have added so much. I mean, I can't tell you how good Nikki Storm is just in her mannerisms, her jaw-jacking with the crowd and the announcers and the ring announcer. She just adds a lot. Kaylee Ray had a pretty good debut. I was expecting, you know, the Mickey Knuckles-Kaylee Ray match to be hardcore. Mickey didn't show. She had apparently another booking that day. For whatever reason, she didn't decide to go. But Kaylee Ray, you know, she had really good matches with Veda Scott. So she basically, you know, she held her own there. And I do want to see more of her. But, yeah, I think this whole fight season has really helped get the international talent up. Another person who I thought has improved a lot since I first saw her, Heidi Lovelace, is not even the same wrestler she was at Girls Night Out 5, which was her first match for AEW. She's so much better now, much more polished than she was. She was like a deer in headlights in Girls Night Out 5, and now she's one of the better roster members of the Girls Night Out brand, I would say.
And what were your thoughts? How was the attendance for the show? I know that has been an area of concern for AIW and sort of getting people to come check these shows out live.
Yeah, I mean, Girls Night Out 9 and 10, the last set, there was only about 50 people there. Not very many. I was expecting way more. Maybe, I don't know if it's the double taping concept that keeps people away, or it's just women's wrestling just isn't big in Cleveland. But yeah, this tapings had maybe 60 people I counted, so not a little bit of an improvement. But I mean, you also had bad weather too, so that probably kept some people away. But yeah, it's not what a typical AIW show draws by any means.
Especially now, I mean, they've had a number of turnaway crowds the last few months, booking guys like Kevin Steen and Chris Hero. So it's very unfortunate that they're not able to really capture that with the women's wrestling fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're not getting good talent. I mean, Athena, I mean, Nikki Storm, Kimberly, Sassy Stephanie, these are not like local girls that like no one knows about. These are world-renowned, world-traveled women. But for whatever reason, they've never done well. I think the only Girls' Night Out that ever really drew that well was Girls' Night Out 8, their iPay-per-view. That drew okay. But really, other than that, yeah, they've had tough draws for these shows. But from what I understand, the DVDs sell better than any other AIW DVD. So they have that going.
I mean, that means that this brand will hopefully continue and, you know, having the DVDs sell well is very important, but hopefully, you know, I think by putting out good shows, that is the best way to draw a good audience at this point as we sit here in 2014, and bringing in the level of athletes, that's the best way to improve things, because, you know, it seems like it's going to be a process, but by holding two shows in one day, bringing the level of talent that they are, you know, it's going to be a slow process, but, you know, if it's 75 people at Girls Night Out 13 and 14, you know, maybe you've just got to bring them in 10, 15 at a time.
Yeah, I was hoping maybe the tag title match might have drawn a few more people in because of the guys on it. But, yeah, I don't know. But I do want to keep it. I just hope they don't go back to where the earlier Girls Night Out was like a half a guy show, half a girl show. I do hope they keep it all female as much as possible. I just think hopefully eventually the crowd there, you know, gets smartened up to it. Because, I mean, the level of the matches, for the most part, are on par with anything a typical AIW show has. I mean, you look at a Mia Yim, I mean, she's better than, I would say, half the male roster of AIW easily. I mean, she's really good. Talent's there. It's just getting that audience to come out, and I don't know what more they can really do, to be honest.
All right, so what we're going to transition to now is a brief conversation about Shimmer. Shimmer 62 is running this Saturday at the McAllister Auditorium at Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana. You can purchase this pay-per-view at wwnlive.com, and as is typical of Shimmer, very few matches announced, and in this case, very few talents are even announced. But for Shimmer 62, we do know the main event. It is going to be 2 out of 3 falls, 90-minute time limit. Cheerleader Melissa will be defending her Shimmer championship against Lufisto. And Dave, why don't you give your thoughts on this match? Why is this happening? Why do we need 2 out of 3 falls, 90 minutes for Cheerleader Melissa and Lufisto?
Well, the last few Shimmer volumes, and even into the Montreal promotion Femme Fatales, these two have been feuding for quite a while, a few months at least. It's gotten pretty intense. I mean, Melissa has gotten busted open during the last Shimmer. She actually missed wrestling on the very last volume of the last Shimmer taping, which was the first ever volume she missed. So that kind of derailed things a little bit at the last volume that she didn't get to wrestle. But yeah, Lufisto has been on fire in Shimmer the last few, for a long time, but especially the last, like, year. She's really upped her game. She came back from injury at 53, that she suffered at 53 in the last WrestleCon last year, blowing out her knee on a moonsault. So she's been really good on the way back. And, I mean, Shimmer, these are probably the two best in-ring workers in Shimmer right now. And that's saying a lot because the talent of Shimmer is unmatched on any women's company you can find. But, yeah, I fully expect Lufisto to probably, if she doesn't win at Shimmer 62 New Orleans, I expect her in Berwyn to probably get the title. I think she's due. And, I mean, Melissa's had the title for a while, and this is also her second reign with the title after winning it back from Soraya Knight. So I can definitely see a title match, a title switch happening, either, if not this weekend, the weekend after.
And, yeah, I mean, 1 year later, that what happened to Lufisto last year, I mean, just seeing that was pretty horrifying. Just to see her completely miss that moonsault and just to see the fans' faces, it was a very scary moment. And I'm really glad that a year later she's sort of in the main event, wrestling against cheerleader Melissa. And I have to say, you know, people like Sarah Del Rey, you know, they get a lot of credit for sort of being, you know, the best women's wrestler in North America, at least. But, you know, I think cheerleader Melissa is someone who really deserves her due as another great women's wrestler. And I think a show like this, a match like this, really gives her an opportunity to showcase what she is all about. And, you know, I've sort of compared what Shimmer has done with cheerleader Melissa to what the Ring of Honor did with Bryan Danielson in late 2005 and 2006 with a heel turn. And what are your thoughts, Dave, specifically on the way that cheerleader Melissa has slowly turned heel and raised the ire of the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, she basically turned heel on the Allison Danger retirement match, which, I mean, if you're going to turn heel, that's one ballsy way to turn heel. I mean, trying to take out Allison Danger in her last match. I mean, there's always been a small section that hasn't really gotten into her character as a babyface. So I think having her heel, I think it lets her open up and explore her character a little bit more. I mean, she's really vicious at times. I mean, she does a spot where she basically slams women into the guardrail on the outside, head first. So, I mean, I think she works better as a heel, just being the total, like, bitch character and not holding back. So, yeah, I mean, she's been a good champion, and the crowd, yeah, I mean, having her turn heel with Allison Danger, I think that was definitely, if you're going to turn her heel, that was the way to go. And that's what makes Lufisto versus Melissa so good, because Lufisto is such the babyface. That crowd adores Lufisto. So that makes for a really good dynamic, having this really popular face against someone who, you know, basically turned her back on the crowd trying to take out Allison Danger. So, yeah, I mean, they're both, you know, like I said, top quality talent. So that should be, you know, I really enjoy Melissa Moore as a heel, I would say.
What are you expecting as far as time goes? I'm assuming that this is going to go 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going 90 minutes.
No, no way. I mean, it's a 2 out of 3 falls. So if it was a single fall, you could make the case that 2 out of 3 falls isn't going 90 minutes. I expect, you know, usually with the 2 out of 3 falls, there's always like one fall that goes real quick and the last fall takes forever. Yeah, I would say if I had to pinpoint, 30 to 45 would absolutely be probably an on par. I don't think it's going under 30 for sure, especially since they haven't announced any matches, so I don't even know how many matches are going to be on this show. I mean, a typical Shimmer volume, you get a good 10, 12 matches on one volume, so I don't think we're going to see that on the pay-per-view, but yeah, I could easily see it going, like, 45 would probably be a good estimate.
So before we get into the other announced talent, since there are no other matches announced, I want to talk about the time, because last year it was very easy, we're all on Eastern Time, but this year it is 3 p.m. Central Time, so if you are an East Coast listener, that's 4 p.m. for you. If you're in the U.K., that's 9 p.m., and if you're on the West Coast Pacific, that is 1 p.m. So a little bit different time. Dave, will you be watching this show live? Or I believe you're going to the Tag World Grand Prix that night, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I might be able to see the first like half hour, then I got to head out for that. But I'm obviously going to watch it on demand as soon as I get home or whenever they put it up. Hopefully it gets put up right away. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see it, but I am going to Shimmer the next week in Berwyn. So I'll see that live. But yeah, I'll probably catch the Shimmer 62 on probably Sunday at some point.
Dave, there is one unfortunate part to you coming to Berwyn.
What's that?
You might run into me. So
yeah, are you gonna be at Shimmer?
I will be at Shimmer both days.
Yeah, I'm gonna see AIW too on Friday, and I haven't seen AIW live since 2012, so that should be interesting.
AAW, do you mean?
Yeah, AAW. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes, that talent list for AEW on April the 11th is pretty ridiculous. So that is definitely a show that you want to check out. And as Dave hinted at, Shimmer Volume 63, 64. 65 and 66 will be taped the following weekend in Berwyn, Illinois on April 12th and 13th. Everybody should go to shimmerwrestling.com for details on that. Again, there are very few details, no matches announced. AEW is running the night before on April the 11th, and there will be a showcase match involving the women. So that is definitely another loaded wrestling weekend. The positive is it's all in one place, and you should definitely... Dave, you're going to the Squared Circle.
Yeah, I haven't been, so I have to go. And the other thing I love about Berwyn is there's an arcade a few miles from the Eagles Club that you pay $15, you get unlimited play on all the games for as long as you want. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
You may have just persuaded Ryan to come to Berwyn for that.
I mean, they got a combination WrestleFest Superstars game that last time I went, I played for a good solid hour and a half.
Ryan, listen, are you excited to watch the 2 out of 3 Falls cheerleader Melissa LuFisto? We've kind of abandoned you in this podcast.
I would just like to say that in all humility, I am, you know, I'm kind of well known in the area for Pac-Man. But, you know, I am excited. I think what they do with the time is interesting. I mean, I don't know much about Shimmer, but what I do know is last year I really enjoyed their show. I thought that, aside from the timing issues and things starting late, I thought that Shimmer was one of the shows that really made the time go by pretty quickly, and it started off that day two of WrestleCon on a pretty high note. So, yeah, I mean, I'm willing to, you know, see what they do with the card. There's not a lot of matches or talent announced, but I'm looking forward to it just based on how good the show was last year at WrestleCon.
So some of the other talents that are announced are the Shimmer Tag Team Champions, 3G of Kelly Skater and Tomoka Nakagawa, Nicole Matthews, Madison Eagles, Barbie Hayden, and Candice LeRae will be making their Shimmer debuts.
About time.
So why don't you talk a little bit about, I'm sure a lot of fans who are listening to this are familiar with Candice LeRae based on the work that she's done in PWG. She's wrestled the Young Bucks and Adam Cole. So my guess is that people have at least heard the name, but why don't you talk a little bit about Barbie Hayden and sort of what she's done and why you feel she deserves to be on Shimmer?
Well, Barbie, for the longest time, was only really working in Texas, so not a lot of people knew, because the way ACW releases stuff so slowly, it's really hard, unless you're there live, to get to see much of it. But she's recently, in 2013, started working with WSU, and that's really expanded her profile tenfold. The thing about Barbie Hayden is she just has a presence about her that stands out. She's the kind of woman that, you know, when she walks in their room, everybody stops what they're doing to look at her, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I don't want to say she has the diva look, but it's kind of true. She's got that, you know, above average quality to her. But the thing is, she's not only look good, she wrestles really well. She's got one of the best DDTs you'll see. She puts, you know, opponent's feet on the top ropes and then just slams the head down, and it just looks devastating. And she's also really well with interacting with the crowd, the ref, getting the crowd really involved in her match, which too few women do. They just wrestle their match and kind of ignore the crowd sometimes, but Barbie Hayden gets you involved, which just makes her match that much better. So because of her WSU bookings lately, I think, you know, more and more people are getting to see what she does, and she's just really good. I mean, that's all I can really say about her. She's got everything you would want in a wrestler, a women's wrestler. So I think she's perfect for Shimmer.
Absolutely. And Leva Bates, Mia Yim, I believe I mentioned them, and Candice LeRae. Yeah. So that is Shimmer. That is taking place on Saturday, April the 5th. Day before we let you go, though, I want to talk a little bit about two of the matches that are taking place at a Wrestling Odyssey. I'll get into the details a little bit later, but there are two Shine Championship matches. First off, the Shine Tag Team titles, the Lucha Sisters of Mia Yim and Leva Bates, will be defending against the SNS Express of Nevaeh and Sassy Steffi. Why don't you talk a little about how Yim and Leva got the titles, and then your thoughts on this match.
Yeah, so the last Shine show was the tag tournament, and Leva and Mia, beat three teams to get there. And on the second round, they did beat the SNX Express, but this one was Sassy Steffi and Jesse Bell. So now you got Sassy Steffi and Nevaeh, which works out well because Leva and Nevaeh has been feuding the last few Shines. It stems back all the way to about four Shine ago, Shine 13, I believe, where they wrestled their first match, and then they had a really well-built match. They had they wrestled like a gimmick match with a bunch of weapons and stuff. I forget what the name of it was, but it involved just a lot of props and stuff. And then they had a really well-built, on social media, they really built up a no-gimmicks match, just a straight-up wrestling match. They got built up better than the main event of that Shine. So they continue their feud here in a tag team format. So I expect that to be really good. I expect there to be some intensity with Leva and Nevaeh in this match. I think Mia and Leva, being the Lucha Sisters, you know, training together and having that connection, I think they were deserving of getting the titles. Because you think of Mia Yim and Leva Bates, they might not be big enough names to have the singles title, but as a tag team, I think they're much deserving of some kind of recognition. So I expect that match to be good. I expect there to be a lot of intensity, a lot of bitterness there. So it should, it should bring up the match pretty well from just a standard match. I don't expect a tag switch or anything. I expect the Lucha Sisters to win, but I expect it to be a very hard-fought match. And, like I said, a lot of intensity, a lot of anger, which should help.
And then for the Shimmer or the Shine Championship, Eva Lise, who recently won the title from Reign, will be taking on a returning Jazz. So Dave, Jazz has not been on a Shine in quite some time.
Shine 9, I believe, was her last match, which ironically, she wrestled Eva Lise and beat her, which is why this match is happening, because Lexi Fife basically posted a video saying that match, Jazz beat Eva Lise, was to get into the Shine title tournament, but then Jazz got injured and hasn't been on Shine since. So this is kind of her make good to get her a title shot, because, you know, she is deserving. I mean, she's Jazz, for God's sake. She's really good. So, this match should be really good, because Eva Lise, ever since she's been in Shine, she's had good match after good match after good match. So this match should be really good.
You know, based on the low standards of the weekend, this might be the best told story of any match on any show.
Yeah, I mean, I think hopefully Jazz has that name recognition to get people into the show. If you're not used to women's wrestling, I think hopefully you know the name Jazz from WWE, ECW, and all that. I expect both matches to be really good representations of what Shine and Shimmer are all about, so I'm hoping that leads, you know, get first-time women's wrestling viewers into it, into the companies. I mean, I guess that's the whole point of the showcase matches, but I really do think you could pick probably a better title match to have to showcase what Shine's all about.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, I want to thank you very much for joining us here tonight to sort of talk about some of the women's action that is taking place this weekend and for reviewing AIW. What have you got coming in the pipelines for PW Ponderings? This is also your opportunity to plug your social media and whatever else.
Wow. I've never had to plug my social media before. That seems odd. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to a bunch of shows that I'll have results for on the site, hopefully. I mean, I laid out on my Facebook, like, all the shows. I'm going to, like, about a dozen shows in the next, like, 8 weeks. I mean, I got Wrestling is Fun. There's a, obviously, Shimmer, AAW. There's a new promotion in New York called Valkyrie, which is an all-women's company. I'm probably going to go to that. That's got some good names. Kimberly, Hanaya, Cherry, Ibom are being that. They're having a Joshi Grand Prix tournament as in our first show. So that should be pretty good. I mean, I'm going to the Future of Honor show for Ring of Honor. I'm also going to an all-women's show that Val is running, which is Vicious Outcast Wrestling in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. I'm going to that. Wrestling is Fun. Jakar is coming back. I'm going to that. The Houston show, the New York City show. So I'm going to a ton of wrestling between now and June. As far as my Twitter, I'm at Dave Muscarella. That's M-U-S-C-A-R-E-L-L-A. You can follow me there. Search for me on Facebook. Tweet a lot, mostly women's wrestling, Jakar, that kind of stuff. Hopefully you find me interesting. Talk to me, tell me, you know, how I'm doing, whatever you want to talk about, I'm open game. So, yeah.
All right, Dave, have a good night. Will you be tweeting out results for Wrestling is Fun on Saturday?
Yes, pretty much. If I go to a show and I have internet on my phone, I'll tweet results. Yeah.
Excellent. So you definitely want to follow Cartoon Dave for this Saturday for the results of Wrestling is Fun. We're going to be tweeting out DGUSA results on the PW Ponderings Twitter at that point. So Dave is a great person to follow. You can get all of the results on your phone. Dave, thanks again. We will definitely have you on a podcast very, very soon to talk more women's wrestling.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Rozanski, I know that you've been very, very quiet for the women's wrestling portion of our broadcast here, but now we are going to get into Evolve and Dragon Gate USA. Before we get into all of the controversy surrounding Dragon Gate USA, let's build up to that a little bit. Let's talk about the card that was actually a full. We have a full card for Evolve 28, Thursday, April the 3rd, 2014, at the McAllister Auditorium in Tulane University, 8 p.m. Central Bell Time. That's 9 o'clock in the East, 2 a.m. for you folks on the U.K., 6 p.m. on the West Coast. So WWNLive.com is the place to get the live iPay-per-view, and if you're going to get this pay-per-view and all of the live iPay-per-views, please use the link on PWPonderings.com. Ryan, I'm just going to get your thoughts on the matches as we go along here. We'll start from bottom to top. The first match is Green Ant versus Maxwell Chicago. Ryan, I know you are pumped to see Maxwell Chicago.
Yeah, you know, it's not that often that I get to actually see him wrestle. It's only every month. I mean, I think Maxwell Chicago, with the more exposure that he's gotten over the past couple months, being on FIP, even making a DGUSA show, it's just gotten to the point where I think we've just seen everything. He's gonna do his what he does every match. I mean, it might be interesting that now we have an ant reacting to what he's doing, and I just can't help but think that this is the vision of Gabe saying, okay, well, we have this Evolve show, and we're just trying to get the most well-rounded card possible, and so we'll stick this match after intermission to show off what Evolve can do with comedy wrestling. And I mean, the success of this match is going to be completely dependent on how willing the crowd is to get behind Chicago's gimmick. And, you know, if they are, it'll just be fine. And if they aren't, things can turn ugly pretty quick. So I guess what I'm saying is, best case scenario, this is just fine.
Are you predicting Green Ant as I am?
Yes.
And the thing that sucks about this is A.R. Fox and Caleb Conley is the other special challenge match. A.R. Fox and Caleb Conley have a quote-unquote issue after Conley joined the Premier Athlete brand back in February in Brooklyn. And I guess from a storyline standpoint, the match makes sense. But from a this match could be really mediocre standpoint, I'm really not impressed. It's funny that I complain about DGUSA storylines, and here we have a storyline match that I'm going to complain about, but Caleb Konley has been in the Evolve / Dragon Gate USA world for 3 years, and he is essentially in the exact same position that he was 3 years ago. And granted, a year and a half being associated with Larry Dallas doesn't help you, but he completed a face turn last year, and he is back to being a heel this year, and he's probably going to lose to AR Fox. So I don't know what to think. I would have much rather have seen AR Fox wrestle Green Ant in a great wrestling match, and seen Caleb Konley and Maxwell Chicago have a match, because I'm willing to make that trade. But yeah, AR Fox and Caleb Konley, not very enthusiastic for this at all.
I thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with Caleb Konley and Andrew Everett teaming together. I thought they were doing just fine, and they could easily be challenging for the Open United title.
Everett's with Ring of Honor now, Ryan.
Okay, well, see, at this point, what you said is correct about the quality of the match. I think once we turn Caleb Konley heel, the expectation now is this isn't going to be this big exhibition or showcase. Going to be AR Fox doing impressive things and Caleb Konley trying to slow him down, be a heel. Who knows, Mr. A might get involved. I think once the Caleb Konley becomes a heel, the potential for this match to steal the show or be one of the higher ranked matches on the card falls significantly. Because I think we're just too concerned about the feud and not concerned enough about just having a pretty strong, consistent card at this point. So, yeah, my expectations dropped for this match pretty heavily once you realize that Caleb Konley's a heel.
2013 Style Battle Finals rematch. There is no doubt how good this is going to be, because every time, whether it's Wrestling is Respect, National Pro Wrestling Day, or Evolve, these two cannot have bad matches. So if you're looking for something to steal the show, this is the match to do it. Drew Gulak, the CZW World Champion, is wrestling Biff Busick. These two cannot say enough good things. I would say if you were to give me a list of 10 wrestlers, these are probably two of the top 10 guys that I love to watch. Just in the ring, the way that they execute moves, the way that they handle their business is absolutely fantastic. And there's no reason this could easily be the best match on the card.
Yeah, I don't think there's even much more to say about it. I mean, there are some matches on this card that have happened before, and it kind of makes me depressed that they are happening again. But this is certainly not one of those matches. I mean, there may not be a huge reason for this match to happen. And they've actually played around with this style battle concept before on the last set of shows when they had Drew Gulak against AR Fox and a battle of the style battle winners. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if Biff Busick evens the score and this leads to a rubber match, that's perfectly fine. It's simple, but I don't think we're asking for a lot. So, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with this match happening, and it should be obviously one of the better matches on the show.
And in another match that I believe it happened in November, correct? Ricochet will be wrestling Anthony Nice.
Yes, that did happen, I think, on an Evolve show in November.
So the gimmick of this, the next two matches that we're going to be discussing, Johnny Gargano and Ricochet will be wrestling for the Open the Freedom Gate title the next night at Open the Ultimate Gate 2014. But the night before, at an Evolve show, Johnny Gargano and Ricochet get to pick each other's opponents. So Johnny Gargano, quote-unquote, picked Anthony Nice. I have to say, we haven't picked wrestlers. I'm actually going to take Drew Gulak to win the previous match, and I'm picking Ricochet to defeat Anthony Nice, if for no other reason than Ricochet is the Open the Dreamgate champion, and I cannot see the Open the Dreamgate champion, since it will be, I assume it's going to be acknowledged on commentary, losing to Anthony Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Biff Busick because I think they want to have one more match, the rubber match, but I would definitely agree with Ricochet. I mean, I don't know how you feel about the concept of this match, picking your opponents. There's a way in which this can come off as pretty lame, or there's a way in which it can work. I hope we just get clean finishes, and I think if Johnny Gargano were to come down, distract Ricochet, And that leads to shenanigans with Nice picking up a win and stuff. To me, that would come off as pretty lame. I just hope that they allow these two matches to just be really good matches, and that to be it. I think that the problem we have with Evolve and Dragon Gate USA is when they let the storylines and they let the feuds interfere with the quality and specifically the finishes of the matches, that's when we start complaining about storylines when a month ago we were complaining that there were no storylines, because they thought the storylines, as thin as they are, get in the way of actual good wrestling. So that would be my hope for these two matches.
Definitely. I think we all want clean finishes up and down these cards. Johnny Gargano will be wrestling Rich Swann. And, you know, I feel like the previous two matches, they're going to be very good, but it sort of feels like a repeat. We've seen these two matches before. We've seen Drew Gulak and Biff Busick. And while I think this Evolve card has the potential to be very, very good, as someone who is a consumer of this company, you know, it feels like the rematches are sort of happening out of nowhere, and there really isn't a solid reason for them to be happening.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a time in Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, at a point in their history, where I think a card like this would get people a little bit more excited. And I don't know, I mean, I haven't been following Ring of Honor as much as I have in the past, but it seems that Ring of Honor lately has been doing a lot better at pairing wrestlers against quality opponents. That a lot of their shows, I look up and down the card and I say, there's a couple matches on this show that I would like to see. And I think, for me, that's putting a lot more pressure on Evolve and Dragon Gate USA to at least do something creative and try to get a little innovative with how they're pairing these wrestlers up. So when I look at Ricochet against Anthony Nice, if I've seen it before, you know, I know it's going to be a good match, but it would seem like this is kind of telegraphing that all this is just building up to Johnny Gargano and Ricochet, and the match itself will probably be inconsequential in a month's time. So I think there is a lot more pressure these days for Evolve and Dragon Gate USA to actually put together cards that don't just lead into other cards that stand out on their own.
Speaking of rematches, the Open the United Gate Championship match, the Bravado Brothers will be taking on the Gentlemen's Club of Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. We have the Bravado Brothers as the tag team champions, and the stipulation that they have added to their matches, they will not be wrestling under Dragon Gate rules. They will be wrestling where everybody has to hold a tag rope. So I believe this lasted about 10 minutes when they first announced the stipulation, and then the referee just lost control anyway. So that's sort of how things go in DGUSA. With the Young Bucks being in New Japan so often, they are the IWGP champions. They're now the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. The Bravado Brothers literally have nobody to feud with. And this, a feud with the Gentlemen's Club, I don't think is really not serving them well, since the Gentlemen's Club never wins matches. So this sort of seems like a foregone conclusion to me. I think the Bravados are going to win. We desperately need to find them some teams to feud against.
Yeah, you know, at the last Dragon Gate USA shows, they wrestled the Gentlemen's Club twice. One match ended in a DQ, and the other match was essentially a DQ where the Bravados cheated to win and the referee didn't see it. So it seemed like the same finish to me twice. And I said that I didn't mind Gulak and Busick wrestling again, but this is certainly a match that I did not want to see again, at least this soon. I mean, we can dress it up with the stipulation that the Gentlemen's Club will not get another title shot if they lose this, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that makes anyone want to see this match anymore. I don't know about you, John, but I cannot see the Gentlemen's Club actually winning this match, though. And, you know, I think the stipulation there is kind of hollow, even, because the stipulation's correct only if they don't get another tag team title shot if the Bravados are champion. Correct?
Correct. Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy, if they do not win this match and get the Open the United Gate titles, they cannot challenge the Bravado Brothers again.
I mean, I don't know how much we even buy that stipulation anymore, because it seems that if even that stipulation wasn't there, the Gentlemen's Club probably weren't going to get another title shot anyway. So we can try to dress the match up, like I said, but this is probably the match I'm looking forward to the least, aside from Maxwell, Chicago, and Green Ant.
I don't think it's a reflection of the Bravado Brothers. I think I've talked many times about how much they have improved, but it just feels like they beat the Young Bucks for the tag team titles, and a big stop sign went up, and all of their momentum just went completely out the window. You know, they had to do a heel turn because the crowd was not responding to them positively. You know, they really don't have any teams to feud with, and it's funny that the Bravados had a tag title match announced for Evolve, but not DGUSA.
Right, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with the Bravadas. I don't even see another tag team that would they could potentially feud with. I mean, the Premier Athlete brand seems, no matter who you pair with each other, whether, you know, Nice and Breda seems like a good team to me. Either one of them with Conley, Caleb Conley seems like a fine team, but they're heels too. And so I'm really curious, actually, we'll talk about it more when we get to that match, but I'm even curious how fans will respond to that match. I mean, it's really hard right now. I mean, the tag team division is certainly at a low point, and we've seen some pretty low points with, you know, titles being forfeited and just quick title changes. But now we're just at a point where the champions just have zero momentum.
And then in the main event, in what I think could very well be the best match on the show, right along with Drew Gulak and Biff Busick, this is the match I'm most anticipating. Chris Hero will be defending the Evolve title against Trent Beretta. I think these two have the potential to have a really good match. And really, I think this show, if it's going to be a thumbs up or thumbs down, I think it depends on this being very, very good. Trent Beretta has had a number of very good matches in FIP, in PWG with Chuck Taylor as the best friends. In Evolve, he had a really good match with Anthony Nice on the first Evolve show of the year, a very good match with Ricochet. So this guy, Trent Beretta, after sort of a tough start in PWG, has done nothing but have very, very good efforts. And like I said, I think this has the potential to be really good. And, you know, I've really liked Chris Hero's wrestling performances in DGUSA and Evolve. I thought the Johnny Gargano match, there were some things that annoyed me in that match, but overall, he's done a lot of really good things. His match with Ricochet was very, very good. The match where he won the title against AR Fox was very good. So, I mean, this I think this show depends on this being a 4-star match in order for me to really say this show was worth it. What are your thoughts, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I look at this match and I think this would be the reason to order this show. I mean, you look at the way this feud was built up. And I mean, I believe it. I am buying that these two don't like each other. And I think it's building up a feud, it feels a lot more genuine. I mean, granted, we did not have a situation where they're picking each other's opponents or trying to cost each other matches. But what we did see is, Trent Beretta come out after Chris Hero's match against AR Fox and remind him that Claudio was main eventing a WWE pay-per-view. That's the kind of innovative, creative stuff that I believe. I mean, what's the worst thing you can say to Chris Hero to make him feel bad? Probably something along those lines. So I believe that there's hatred here. I'm really looking forward to this match. I totally agree. I think the success of this show is going to heavily depend on how good this match is. And I think, I think it's pretty obvious. I don't think Chris Hero loses, especially it's his first defense and given that Beretta is the FIP champion, but I have really high hopes for this one.
I agree. I think this should be really good. And Ryan and I, are you excited to watch this show on Thursday night, Ryan? It's going to be you and me, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I see, my issue is I typically reserve Thursday for what is known as Thirsty Thursday.
Oh, God.
And I typically don't like skipping weeks, but, I mean, Maxwell Chicago is wrestling, right?
This is the one time, Ryan. This is the one time.
This better be the one time.
Do you even Thirsty Thursdays? I can't believe Ryan just used that phrase on this podcast. That's the clear highlight of anything we're going to do this week. So, yeah, that is Evolve 28 this Thursday, April the 3rd, WWNLive.com for the iPay-per-view. Next up is 2014, A Wrestling Odyssey. Basically, this is showcase matches. It is all championship matches up and down. We've got the CZW World Heavyweight title being defended. Drew Gulak will be defending against Timothy Thatcher. We have the FIP World Heavyweight Champion, Trent Beretta. One night he's challenging for the Evolve title. The next, he is going to be defending his world title against FIP Florida Heritage Champion, Lince Dorado. We talked about the Shine title matches a little bit earlier. Ivelisse will be wrestling Jazz. The Lucha Sisters of Mia Yim and Leva will be defending against the SNS Express of Nevaeh and Sassy Steffi. and the local promotion in Louisiana, the Wildcat Heavyweight Championship. Mike Dell will be defending against Steve Anthony. Plus, there will be some other matches. I believe there will be 8 total matches. All the championships are going to be on the line, it feels like, in this one. And that is, again, at the McAllister Auditorium at Tulane University, 3 p.m. Central Bell Time, Friday, April the 4th, 4 p.m. on the East, 9 p.m. in the U.K., 1 p.m. on the West. So it's a very early Friday afternoon show, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see sort of how this show plays out. And, Ryan, not a whole lot to say here, I feel like. Is there anything you're really looking forward to?
Well, I mean, we've seen Drew Gulak and Timothy Thatcher have a match on the last set of FIP shows, which was really good. Yet, I did sense in that match that they might actually have room to improve upon that match. I mean, you give these guys 20-some minutes in the main event with a hot crowd, I think there's certainly something there. And it makes me wonder why Timothy Thatcher isn't appearing on other shows this weekend. And I guess, you know, let's say Dorado, for me recently, it's hard to deny that he's been having very, very good matches on the FIP shows. The cat thing is hit or miss a lot of times, but I have no doubt that him and Trent Barreto will have a very good match. And yeah, I mean, like, Dave did a very nice job of going over the Shine stuff, and I'm very excited to see the Shine matches in context. I'm glad that I know at least some about the feuds going on there. It's really hard to sit through Shine Showcase matches on random FIP and Evolve shows, so that should be eye-opening and hopefully a better look at what China has to offer. I think a concept show like this is perfectly fine. And yeah, I mean, making all the matches title matches only adds to the intrigue, especially if there's a change. So yeah, I mean, I'm certainly coming into this one open-minded.
I think of all the shows, I think this is the one with the lowest amount of expectations, and we will see. I think hopefully we get some good wrestling here. I think I feel like you have to do at least one title change on this show. You have presumably eight championship matches. I feel like you've got to do at least one change. I would say the most likely is actually Evil East and Jazz, because I don't think Lince Dorado or Timothy Thatcher have a chance. The Lucha Sisters just won their titles. I don't think anyone particularly cares about the Wildcat heavyweight title match. No disrespect to those guys, but I think there's a very specific reason that Wildcat is on the advertisements for the WrestleCon wrestling show and the show. I don't even know what to really think about, except to say I think Jazz has the best chance of winning a title.
Yeah, I would certainly agree that you have to do at least one title change, and Mike Dell and Steve Anthony just got really offended, but... Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think if you do the Wildcat heavyweight title change, that seems pretty unsatisfying. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take your word for it about Evil East. I would say one of the Shine title matches have a good chance of changing hands. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dorado's becoming a double champion either, and I think Gulak easily retains. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think there's, out of all the shows on the weekend, with this one, there's almost no room for booking annoyances because all it is are just showcase matches. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how the quality of the Evolve show on Thursday night. But, you know, if things end up not going so well there, I could see this kind of picking the mood back up with a couple of great showcase matches.
Now we come to Dragon Gate USA. Oh, boy. So one of the big controversies over the last few weeks is... And I want to get your thoughts on this before we even get into the cards. I think we should all just sit down and have an agreement that Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate USA have done a porous job of promoting these shows in New Orleans. WrestleMania weekend is one of the biggest weekends of the year. And I feel very disappointed personally in just about every show on paper. At this point, I can say with confidence the show that I am most confident being good is WrestleMania. And that was not necessarily the case last year or the year before or the year before that. I feel like WrestleMania has at least 3 matches that I am very interested in, possibly a 4th if Daniel Bryan beats Triple H. But, you know, Evolve and DGUSA and Ring of Honor, have not done a good job of promoting their shows. And part of the reason that DGUSA has been having problems is the inability to announce Japanese talent. Gabe Sapolsky this past Saturday put out an official statement saying that DGUSA would not be able to supply Japanese talent, and that they would be adjusting the lineups, and that they would have a number of make-goods. As part of the make-good process, they announced that Masato Tanaka would be wrestling Chris Hero on the Friday night DGUSA show, and they promised that an explanation would be forthcoming tonight on Monday. Just before we recorded, Gabe released a statement and talked about those make-goods. Before we get to that, though, Ryan, what are your overall thoughts? Obviously, it's a little bit different this year. You're not going to New Orleans to experience all of the live independent wrestling action. You're not going to WrestleMania. What are your thoughts sort of how DGUSA and Ring of Honor have been promoting, not promoting their shows?
Well, the experience last year, whether or not the shows last year at WrestleCon delivered, and I mean, I would say they about met my expectations. I mean, the Dragon Gate USA show Saturday night was insane. But the fact is, I felt like going into those shows that they were going to take over the world that weekend. I mean, the expectations, we had a road to WrestleCon that started 6 months before WrestleCon actually occurred, and whether or not that road to WrestleCon was actually a road to WrestleCon, and whether or not they actually built up WrestleCon, at least you got the sense that, you know, people cared. People that the bookers and the promotions heading into this weekend actually cared. And, you know, this, I mean, I understand it's impossible for us to actually know the intricacies of putting these shows together and communicating with Dragon Gate Japan's office. And I certainly don't want to come off like I know any of that process. But
from everything that Gabe has posted on Twitter, it has to do with a visa issue.
Right. I mean, but what I'm saying is, I don't think it would have hurt for Gabe, you know, 2 weeks ago to say, you know, we're not announcing matches because we're still talking to Dragon Gate offices, trying to get you the best talent possible. We apologize. I mean, now he makes this announcement, you know, over the weekend and saying we're not going to have any talent. And then I get a news alert tonight saying, you know, we're not having any Japanese talent, but wait till you see the replacements. And, you know, we'll get into it, but the problem is I can't even see all the replacements because I'm not going to be there live. And some of the replacements aren't going to be on the pay-per-view or the DVD. I don't know. It's hard. I mean, I think being honest and communicating with the fans is certainly a good thing, but the overly optimistic and enthusiastic newsletters just really rub me the wrong way. And I think, I don't know. I think it's just now we're at a point where I'm getting the impression from Dragon Gate USA where it's, you know, we don't have Dragon Gate talent anymore, but we're beyond being sorry about it, and we're giving you all this extra, and the replacements are so high quality that we can just forget about the lack of Japanese talent. And this will go back to when they were trying to redefine Evolve. And I'm pretty sure we were on this podcast making the point, let's just combine them. Let's not have separate titles. Let's just be more realistic about our expectations. And they insisted on having this Evolve title tournament. It was a disaster. And now we're here, where we're making these press releases a week before their biggest shows of the year. So it really is disappointing. And, I mean, I think we're past the point of, you know, apologies or whatever. I mean, I think it's just
the DGUSA show that is running against both the WWE Hall of Fame and WrestleCon, as presented by High Spots, had zero matches announced before 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight, 5 days before the show. That is embarrassing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, so low-key is one of these replacement talents that's coming in instead of the Dragon Gate USA, the Dragon Gate Japan talents. And because he is now on the Saturday Dragon Gate USA show, one of the trios in the trio tournament is going to be the Bravados and Moose. So what are we doing? Yeah, sure, like we have a Gargano low key match, but look what we did at the trios tournament. I mean, if at best, these are trade-offs. I'm not considering this new, you know, talent that significantly improves the quality of these shows. So I have an issue with the make good language here.
I do as well. So let's get into this officially. Low-Ki was announced as one of the make goods, as he will be wrestling in Dragon Gate USA for the first time in a while, as he will be wrestling Trent Beretta at DGUSA on Friday, and he'll be wrestling Open the Freedom Gate champion Johnny Gargano on Saturday. Presumably, I don't think Gargano's going to have the belt, but we'll get to that. So, that's part of the make good. That's the part that everybody who is on live iPay-per-view is going to see. Unfortunately, if you are a DVD purchaser for DGUSA, and why the hell would you be at this point? Or if you're on live iPay-per-view, the other make good, Bad Influence of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. They will wrestle at the DGUSA event on Saturday. They will have a top tag team for them to face. Unfortunately, nobody except the live ticket holders are going to be able to see the show, this match, because Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian are under TNA contract. So, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian will be facing opponents that will be determined after the results of the six-man tag team tournament. So presumably, they will be wrestling two wrestlers that were in the tournament. Gabe said these are the best possible opponents. That's basically it. So Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels will not be seen by the live iPay-per-view audience or anyone who buys on video on demand or DVD. Low-Ki, we could talk about this. I'm personally a fan of Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. It's fine that they are, you know, having this for the live event crowd, but as a fan, I can't help but walk away very, very disappointed with the three men that were announced. Because let's be honest, what memorable match did Low-Ki have in Dragon Gate USA or Evolve?
Yeah, I mean, my last memory of Low-Ki was him putting down people after their matches, you know, saying El Generico was the goofy guy with the mask and talking
and
down.
And now, just a reminder that El Generico was on WWE television wrestling Cesaro in one of the best matches in about 3 years.
Sure. I mean, the point is, Low-Ki, they had this thing going for Low-Ki, and if you want to convince me that, you know, Low-Ki getting on the microphone after his match with El Generico and telling him he basically is a terrible wrestler, if you want to try to convince me that that is a good storyline, there better be some huge payoff down the road. And the issue was Low-Ki left before there could even be a payoff. So, I have not fond memories of Low-Ki in his last appearance in the WWE and Live Universe.
I mean, this to me, you know, they were desperate to try to keep the live crowd. These are clearly decisions to appease the live crowd, just based on the fact that they're bringing in Daniels and Kazarian for the Saturday night show. We have cards for both April the 4th and April the 5th. So let's get into it. There's two matches on Open the Ultimate Gate that I'm actually interested in, maybe three. So let's get into it. From bottom to top, Rich Swann will be wrestling Biff Busick. I think this has the potential to be very, very good. I'm hoping that this is a showcase weekend for Biff Busick, if nothing else. I hope that we get something positive from this. Busick, I'm hoping, gets the win here. I'm hoping he beats Gulak at Evolve, even though I think Gulak is going to win. I actually think Rich Swann is going to win this, but again, I'm hopeful that Busick wins because I think he's a guy that DGUSA and Evolve desperately needs right now.
Yeah, I mean, aside from this match just being, well, here's the rest of the talent that don't already have matches, let's pair them up and see what we get. I mean, there's really no reason for this match to happen, but as a showcase, I think, yeah, I certainly think this would be good. And, you know, as I could see this being the opener. I mean, you know, Rich Swann has a way with crowds, and you know, given this 15 minutes as an opener, I think would be an excellent way to get off on the right foot. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much harm in having Rich Swann use these showcase matches. The crowd seemed to love him, and I think Busick would certainly gain a lot more from winning here. So, I'm on board with Busick winning.
AR Fox and Mr. A, why? Why do we need to see AR Fox versus Mr. A in a grudge match?
No, the first night of WrestleCon last year, AR Fox won four matches and a title. This year, he is wrestling Caleb Conley, and then he's wrestling Mr. A. About equivalent, you would say. Equivalent, you know.
Can we just, I desperately hope Fox wins this.
You're not suggesting that Mr. A has a shot. a winning
match. I mean, why did Mr. A squash Fire Ant the night before Fire Ant had a grudge match against Jigsaw? I don't get it.
No, you were also supposed to forget that happened a long time ago. I mean, yeah.
It happened in February.
Well, I don't know. Here's what I do know is that Air Fox has this feud with the Premier Athlete brand that I had to go back and figure out why it was happening or how it started. And somehow this leads to him having, you know, two matches on a whole weekend. I mean, I can't help but think we're severely underutilizing Air Fox this weekend.
No doubt about that. Special tag team attraction, Chuck Taylor and Drew Gulak versus Fire Ant and Green Ants. This will at least be good, but I'm not, again, very enthusiastic about it because, you know, I don't understand why this is happening.
Yeah, you know, it kind of reminded me of I'd be hard-pressed to remember what show this actually happened on, but I don't know if you remember the tribute to Chikara match. It was perhaps on one of the DGSA anniversary shows that they kind of just put together because, and the match actually ended up being pretty underwhelming because it just had no reason for it to happen. And they did something like the signature Chikara spots or whatever, but the crowd just really wasn't taking to it. And I can kind of see the same thing happening here if they're not careful.
Tag team challenge match. If Bravados retain at Evolve, it will be a title match. Might as well just say when they retain, it will be a title match. The Bravado brothers will be wrestling Anthony Nese and Caleb Conley. Ryan Rozanski, how many matches have Anthony Nese and Caleb Conley teamed before this night?
We're going to have to go with zero.
That would be correct. They have won zero matches in DGUSA and Evolve together. And they are getting a tag team title match against the Bravados.
Yep. You know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
I'm looking forward to Su Yung getting in the ring to attack the Bravados, okay? And then Moose is going to come behind her. And then she's going to do that thing where she, like, reaches around her back and, like, touches Moose's head and just flip out. And I'm going to die a little inside. I mean,
'cause that's what we need, is we need man-on-women violence on this show to really spice things up.
This is going to be an interference galore. I mean, look, with Moose, again, Su Yung, or Mr. A is there. Perhaps we can get AR Fox down there to fight off Mr. A. There's no faces. They're both heel tag teams. This is a mess.
Low-key versus Trent Beretta. I will say this, Ryan. If Low-key loses this weekend, I will sing a song of your choice on a podcast. Because I am that confident. Low-key is not losing.
Okay. No, I mean, you know, you told me not to mention, but there is a theme song to a certain show by Natasha Bedingfield that has...
I'll do it. I'm that confident that Low-key is going to win. There's no way.
No,
Here's the best part.
Is this non-title?
This is non-title, no FIP title, no Evolve title, nothing. This is a special attraction match.
Okay.
The guy who's retired and has burned his bridge with every professional wrestling company in the United States and a number of companies in Japan. I don't get why you... I get why you bring in Low-key, but from an artistic standpoint, I don't understand why you bring someone out of retirement when you know damn well he isn't losing either one of his matches. That makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, knowing... And again, not to pretend like we know things, but I mean, knowing Low-key's attitude and just knowing, you know, why they're bringing him back and all these things, it really does a lot to actually hurt the aura of the match actually happening. And you want to get these, like, showcase vibes. This is going to be this great showcase and a fresh matchup. It's really hard to get past all those external feelings you have about why Low-key's actually here. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I would agree that Low-key's going to win this match. You know, hopefully, you know, we get our money's worth and he can bury Trent Beretta after the match.
I can't wait till Low-key buries Trent Beretta after the match. And then Low-key, we never see him again after the next night. That's going to be great. Not looking forward to this match at all. I am looking forward to the final two matches of this card. I mentioned the Evolve title literally has to save the card. Well, Chris Hero and Masato Tanaka pretty much have to do the same for Open the Ultimate Gate 2014. Chris Hero will be wrestling Masato Tanaka. I'm hoping this is very good. Masato Tanaka will probably not take any crazy chair shots like he used to in ECW, but he's still a very good wrestler from all indications and even some of the recent work that I've seen him do. I'm hoping this is very good, and best of all, this is the Battle of the Rolling Elbows, Ryan, so you've got that to look forward to.
No, I mean, you, like I said, bad vibes about them bringing Loki in, very good vibe about them bringing Masato Tanaka in. I mean, and you know, and this is the same reason why I think the Wrestling Odyssey show has potential to just be really surprising and enjoyable, is there is nothing that anyone, they would be out of their minds to screw this match up with anything happening besides Hero and Tanaka having a clean finish and a long, good match. I mean, you feel confident about this match because there's no way they can screw it up. And yeah, I mean, I don't see how this would be anything but very good to great. So
back in November 2011, two men won championships. Johnny Gargano won the Open the Freedom Gate title and defeated Yamato in the semi-main event of Freedom Fight. And Eddie Kingston won the Grand Championship of Chikara at their first ever live iPay-per-view. Funny enough, neither one of those men have lost those respective titles. Granted, Chikara has not been around in a year, but Eddie Kingston and Johnny Gargano both holding their respective titles. Now Johnny Gargano is going into a huge match against someone who has just excelled in Dragon Gate, has won every major championship, including, incredibly, the first Gaijin wrestler to ever hold the Open the Dream Gate Championship. He defeated Masato Yoshino about a month ago to claim that title. Regardless of what you think of the DGUSA and Evolve cards and how poorly they have been promoted, this is a chance for redemption. Johnny Gargano's very first title defense of his title came against Ricochet at the last, at that time, the last show in the ECW arena. And Johnny Gargano was successful. Unfortunately, he was hospitalized immediately afterwards and was, by all accounts, a very disappointing match. This is a chance for these two men to redeem themselves. Ricochet is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world right now. And even from that day at Evolve, he has become a completely different wrestler. And Johnny Gargano is a great wrestler as well. I have to say, regardless of my criticisms, it is not a reflection of the talent in this case. You look at what these two guys have done ever since the start of DGUSA. You know, when DGUSA first ran WrestleMania weekend shows, neither one of these men were even invited to come to Phoenix. Ricochet had not even made his DGUSA debut at that point. Johnny Gargano was a mid-card guy. Now, they are main eventing the biggest DGUSA show of the entire year for the Open the Freedom Gate title. I am very much looking forward to this. I only wish that it was not a title unification match, but both titles were on the line. I think it would have been so much cooler to have both titles on the line, especially given that Gargano has been a Dragon Gate champion for over 800 days. It's very unfortunate that amidst all of the criticism of Gabe that is justified and all of the BS surrounding the lack of promotion, that these two guys are not going to get the credit they deserve, but they certainly deserve it. Johnny Gargano and Ricochet will be probably one of the best matches of the year. I predict that Ricochet walks away the Open the Freedom Gate champion, and it is a crowning achievement for his career in North America.
Yeah, I mean, this is a match with a lot of unintentional built-in history. I mean, the last match at the ECW arena, I mean, that situation is very unfortunate, and but it does make sense that Johnny Gargano, because you, and there's so much that could have been done here, right? I mean, the match at the arena is what really started Johnny Gargano on this path of showing that he had heart and that he could fight through anything. That incident was the catalyst to him speaking in middle schools and to small children. And from there, he started, and last year at WrestleCon, he turned heel because the adulation everyone had for him just turned him evil. And you could have painted the story of it coming full circle 1 year later. I've said this on podcasts before, but I mean, when Johnny Gargano defended the Open the Freedom Gate title against Akira Tozawa, he tried using the chain again, the same tactic that he used against Shingo last year at WrestleCon. And I really, really wanted them to save that for when Gargano was going to eventually lose the title. And I would agree with you that I think he's going to lose the title here. But I think when you have an over 800-day title reign, the way that the champion loses the title should be very significant, and it should be a long time coming. And I'm not getting that here. I don't know what possible finish they could do to really put closure on the length of Johnny Gargano's title reign. And they have so much history, like I said, unintentional, but they have, they've worked themselves into this arc that they could really take advantage of, and they're just, I just don't get the sense that the booking is doing that. But, I mean, if we can try our best to forget about that part for a second, I think this, I don't know if they're going to find two guys more motivated to have a stealing match than they will be on this night, and I think this, if anything, this would be a strong, very strong incentive to order the show.
So this Friday night, April the 4th at 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 2 a.m. in the UK, you will all get a chance to see Open the Ultimate Gate 2014. And then Saturday night, April the 5th at 8 p.m., you can order the live high pay-per-view again at WWNLive.com. It is Mercury Rising 2014. And they are continuing the six-man tag team tradition in a way by having a tournament. And they are going to be having a six-man tag team tournament where the winners will get to book themselves at any future match they want. This is very similar to when Ring of Honor used to hold their trios tournaments. The format will see three first-round matches. The three winners will then meet in a three-way six-man tag team mega elimination match. So what I'm going to do, Ryan, is I'm going to give you all of the tournament matches. Then I am going to get your predictions on those three, and then we will pick who is going to go to the finals. Okay?
Deal.
All right. Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox will be taking on Chris Hero, Roderick Strong, and TBA. Mostly because Chris Hero is scheduled to be booked, or is scheduled to wrestle Drew Gulak and Michael Elgin at WrestleCon, I am predicting that Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox are coming away with the victory in this six-man tag.
Oh, man, Jerome, I do not want to get into... Like I said, we have a very, very long week together. I do not want to get things started off on the wrong foot, but I'm going to predict that Hero, Strong, and TBA win this match after... I'm assuming that Ricochet is the Open the Freedom Gate champion. After Swan or AR Fox do something to start tension with Ricochet.
Ryan, you are out of your mind. There is no way that Chris Hero is winning this match. He literally has to go to another show.
Okay, to me that makes sense. That one of Ricochet's teammates would cause... Can I switch?
That can happen in the finals.
I'm saying because it doesn't compute, can I switch my pick, or is this illegal?
Yes, I will let you switch your pick.
Okay, I'm switching my pick. I'm going to say that Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox defeat Chris Hero, Roderick Strong, and TBA easily.
I mean, I'm not one to say you're wrong, but in this specific case, you're wrong. I won't argue with the next two, because I don't believe, actually, that's not the case. That there's actually a guaranteed loser in one of the other matches as well for the same reason. In the next match, the Bravado Brothers and Moose will be wrestling Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Lince Dorado. I'm not going to lie here. Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Lince Dorado would be much more fun in the finals. I think the Bravados and Moose are picking up the victory, and Moose is going to be built to look like a monster.
Okay, I'm not sure who the other obvious pick is in the next match, but what I'm going to say is I was going to pick the Bravados and Moose simply because I think in the finals you need... They're going to want a team like the Bravados in the finals just to have that heel role, the strong heel trio in the finals. I do think that Fire Ant, Green Ant, and Lince Dorado would be a much better choice, but once again, I think we have to worry about, you know, the storyline dynamics of everyone involved. And, I mean, it does make sense to a certain extent, assuming that the Bravados are still the tag team champions. I do like the idea of the Bravados going into the final round and trying to fend off potential challengers. To me, that makes sense, but it's really unfortunate to pick them just based on the lack of momentum that they've had over the past couple months.
Six-man tag team tournament, first round match number three. Trent Beretta, Anthony Nese, and Caleb Conley. They comprise Premier Athlete brand. They will be wrestling the Gentleman's Club of Chuck Taylor, Drew Gulak, and Orange Cassidy. Drew Gulak is booked to wrestle Michael Elgin and Chris Hero. Therefore, the Gentleman's Club are definitely losing this match. And Trent Beretta, Anthony Nese, and Caleb Conley are going to win and go to the finals.
Jim, I don't even know why you're threatening that. You know I can't disagree with you again here.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm sorry. Okay. I have to...
I'm going to pick then... Now, hold on. Let me... Okay, I'm going to pick the Premier Athlete brand.
Very good. You're finally listening to me, Ryan. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. I mean, yeah, that goes without saying, but...
All right, so in the finals, we actually agree. Trent Beretta, Anthony Nese, and Caleb Conley versus the Bravados and Moose versus Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox. That is what we are both predicting. Let's see if we're predicting the same team to win the tournament. Ryan, I'm going with the Premier Athlete brand. I think that they are going to use this to springboard Anthony Nese and Caleb Conley specifically. They're going to push these guys, whether we want them to or not, especially in the case of Conley. And I think that the Premier Athlete brand, I think they're using this to make them the top heel group in the entire promotion. The Bravados have the United Gay Tag Team titles. Moose is not even close to being ready for any type of a singles push. So I think that there's no reason to have them win. Ricochet is already the open... will already have both belts, I believe. And I believe that someone like AR Fox and Ricochet may possibly be able to rekindle the feud anyway. So I predict Beretta, Nese, and Conley will walk away with the tournament and become the number one heel group in all of Dragon Gate USA and Evolve.
Yeah, so I think you easily roll out the Bravados and Moose. And like I brought up in the first round, I do think there is going to probably be tension between Ricochet and Rich Swann just because they've done Ricochet against AR Fox before. I think that also gives Rich an incentive to have Rich Swann lose to Biff Busick. He gets frustrated. I mean, they've done it before, but it doesn't make that makes sense that way. So I'm going to go with the Premier Athlete brand as well. Anthony Nese and Trent Beretta, I think the WWE and Live Universe was very smart to hop on those two. And I think more so Anthony Nese. I mean, Anthony Nese had a tremendous showing at National Pro Wrestling Day and in 2013, and I was amazed that Ring of Honor didn't grab him immediately. So, I mean, Nese has always been really fun to watch, and, you know, Trent Beretta has been doing great this year as well, and Caleb Conley, who knows? I mean, he's a wild card. I don't think if anything really gets done if Ricochet, Rich Swann, and AR Fox win this. So, yeah, I mean, you want to be productive, and at least if the tournament isn't up to par, which I think it should be decent, at least maybe what comes from it could be something significant. Who would you have? So let's say you have to split up the Premier Athlete brand and do one singles and a tag team. Who's the tag team?
I mean, I think you're going to do Nese and Conley as the tag team. So I think Trent Beretta is more of a singles guy. I think Caleb Conley and Anthony Nese as a tag team, like I mentioned before. You know, DGUSA desperately needs tag teams. I'm just not sure that they're the answer because they're also heels. They need babyface tag teams at this point. They got to have something. It's just a very confusing card and not one I'm particularly enthusiastic about, especially given that the special main event is Johnny Gargano versus Low Ki. And the night after Johnny Gargano's epic title reign ends, he's going to lose to Low Ki, and I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bring some quotes from my TV shows Saturday night to calm you down. I mean, I can envision you being, you know, upset. I think for me, a lot of it is going to, the first Dragon Gate USA show is going to depend on how, I mean, ultimately how Gargano, Ricochet, and Hiro Tanaka. And I mean, the undercard, I mean, I think the undercard has a chance of working out. It doesn't look great right now, but yeah, I don't know. Gargano against Low Ki, again, I think the added to the once you think clearly about why Low Ki's wrestling on these shows and the inevitability of him actually winning, I think this just gets a lot less fun and exciting. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see how the crowd takes to it. I mean, who knows how the crowd is going to react to Low Ki. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely a risk. And, you know, if Loki is the replacement, if he is the guy that's going to make up for this Japanese talent, and the crowd just, for the lack of Japanese talent, and if the crowd just decides to hate him on him or dislike him, it's going to get really interesting. So, yeah, I think Gargano against Loki was the obvious match. I think Gabe wanted to get in on this weekend, but it just seems like we should be so much more excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think of some of the disappointment that I'm feeling about this card and some of the frustration. You know, I think there has the potential, again, to be a number of really great matches up and down. You know, the Evolve, the DGUSA show in particular, Open the Ultimate Gate. You know, I think those two main events have the potential to be really good. Same for Evolve. You know, we're going to be watching Evolve on Thursday, and, you know, there could be, you know, we've got Hiro and Trent, Beretta. You know, we've got Drew Gulak and Biff Busick, Ricochet and Anthony Nese, Johnny Gargano, Rich Swann. These are all matches that have the potential to deliver in the ring. The problem with DGUSA and Evolve has never been what goes on in the ring. The wrestlers, it is one of the best rosters in independent wrestling. I mean, they have had the ability to cultivate a number of talents. You look at Gargano and Fox and Ricochet and Rich Swann. You know, these are guys, you know, they came from other places, but they really cultivated their style. They really became the best wrestlers they could possibly be because of their work in Dragon Gate USA and Evolve. And I think it's very unfortunate that these cards do not reflect the unbelievably hard work that these guys have put in to make themselves better. It feels like there is always something that is messing with what's going on in the ring, whether it be storyline issues, whether it be iPay-per-view issues, whether it be Gabe Sapolsky's behavior on social media, whether it's the failure to announce cards up until. I can't help but feel badly for the wrestlers who really deserve to showcase what they can do, because when given the opportunity, we have seen spectacular efforts from DGUSA and Evolve over the years as far as in the ring. I mean, I can think back to Evolve 25 from this year as one of the best independent wrestling cards of the year, and there were 5 matches, and all of them delivered up to expectation and beyond. So I don't know how you feel about it, Ryan. I can't help but feel very badly for the talent involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly a possible world in which the idea of the Premier Athlete brand winning a trios tournament at WrestleMania weekend on a Dragon Gate USA show would have been really exciting. And, you know, and I don't think the issue here is a lack of Japanese talent in itself. I think that we have a lot of confidence in this roster to perform and put on great shows and all that, but I think it's just the way that it's handled and the expectations that were, again, set when Dragon Gate USA and Evolve started, and again, when Gabe heavily pushed that Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, they were going to share titles, but they were going to remain separate, and we were going to introduce an Evolve title and do all these things to make, just to make everything seem like it should be so special, and it gives us these expectations. And, you know, when it doesn't deliver and we don't get the Japanese talent, the response is, well, we have all this great American talent and we're bringing in guys like Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels and Low Key, to which, you know, that's great, but the past couple years we've been conditioned to believe that we were going to have Japanese talent and that the promotion was somewhat based around it. And, you know, you look at the main
event. And
events,
it's worth noting that the ticket prices of $100 for front row reflect this fact.
Yeah, I mean, The main event of Dragon USA's last show last year was changed almost a week before the show because Chris Hero came back. And I'm not saying it was necessarily wrong to do that, but look at how special these shows are. Look how much thought is going into these shows. Look how much long-term planning is going into these shows. There's almost none. And it's hard to get excited. It's hard to believe that a match like Ricochet versus Tony Nese on Evolve 28 is going to actually lead to anything past the time the show actually ends. It's hard to get excited. And, you know, this is a great collection of talents, and they have access to probably really hot crowds and very willing crowds to get into the action. But how easy that's going to actually be is really in question.
So we're going to see what happens. It all takes place this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Ryan Rozanski and myself will be a huge part of this weekend here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. Ryan, you will be doing live coverage of Evolve 28, Open the Ultimate Gate 2014 and Mercury Rising for the website. I will be live tweeting results for those shows. Wrestling Odyssey and Shimmer 62, I will be doing the live report. Ryan Rozanski will be doing the live tweeting at PW Ponderings. At PW Ponderings is the place to go this weekend for all of your WWN results. We are going to work to have Ring of Honor results live on the website, in addition to WrestleCon, Kaiju Big Battle, Wrestling is Fun, the Tag World Grand Prix, the ECWA Super 8 Tournament. It is going to be an incredibly busy weekend for all of us here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And Ryan, the worst part of all of this, as if, I don't want to be a wet blanket, Ryan, but WWN Live, is it going to die on us? Because if it does, oh boy.
I might have to cuss.
Oh man. So, obviously, iPay-per-view issues could very well play into what happens. But Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find us. Again, subscribe on iTunes. We really need your support, especially this weekend. If you are going to highspots.com, click on the link on PW Ponderings, and we're going to get a small kickback from all of that. I know Ryan is going to be spending a lot of money on those iPay-per-views, and we could really use the support. Ryan, you're not a rich man, are you?
Well, Jerome, I mean, I think no. But what I am saying is, you know, I work at a library, so it's, you know, to some, you know, I could be doing other things. You know, I could be like hostess at a fancy restaurant. I could be doing things, but it's, you know, you just have to care about things other than, you know, the bottom line sometimes, and I'm big on that. But, you know, guys, you know, help me out. I mean, the books don't tell themselves, and the bread doesn't put itself on the table. So, do you like that speech? By chance.
Very good, Ryan. All right. Before we get out of here, plug your stuff.
I would just like to point out, too, that for me, the best part of this podcast was in reference to who's going to face bad influence, you use the phrase, we'll see, but we actually won't see.
That's actually a good catch by you. I'll give you credit. You get 10 internet points to you for that, Ryan.
Okay. That doesn't put bread on the table either, but that's besides the point. What I am saying is I'm on Twitter at R. Rozanski. I mean, I don't think Jerome would recommend following me, but if you do follow me, you can see Jerome reply to my, I guess, subpar quality tweets. I don't believe they are, but he does, and sometimes it's funny. I don't know. For Pressing Ponderings, I do IWC DVD reviews and Dreamwave DVD reviews. I'm excited for Dreamwave in 2014, and then I also cover Evolve and Dragon USA, such as this weekend. So I definitely get my fill of Maxwell Chicago matches, so thumbs up.
I know you're excited to review more of those. That's the best part.
It's hard to type when you're laughing. You know what I mean?
All right, Ryan. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. Definitely keep your eye on the website, the Twitters, all of that good stuff. I got those plugs out of the way. Listen to all of the podcasts coming this past week. Ryan and I, basically what we're going to be doing is we are going to record for about a half hour after each show, but we are going to release it all as one giant audio file for you to consume on Sunday. So that way we're not releasing everything every night, but we're still sort of reviewing everything when it's fresh in our minds. So Evolve 28, we're going to record, and then you'll be able to listen to it on Sunday. So for Ryan Rozanski, my name is Jerome Cusan. You have been listening to PWP Extra, a preview of the WWN Live experience. Thank you for listening.